Chris. And?
And I'm Blair Douglas. I didn't know if I was supposed to introduce myself there or not, but here we are.
Yeah. That's good. that worked fun.
What's going on?
Yeah. All right. So we're getting a big official special guest episode.
I mean, we had Jason and Neil, but they don't really count.
I know.
They're friends.
This is real-time special guest.
Exactly. We've got real people.
We had to, like, Skype this and everything.
Yeah.
From Canada.
Teaching across the interwebs.
This has been a long time in the works.
Is this the first ever international Classy Ring Attire podcast?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And you get that distinguished honor because you're not only our first actual wrestling fan guest, you're our first Canadian guest as well. So there's two for you right there.
Well deserved.
All right.
Before we start, I wanted to thank Sanders for saying such nice things about my recap on Monday in his column today. And Joel, I was gonna be annoyed that you didn't mention me, but then I saw that with your first paragraph, you said that you were nostalgic for Nickelback. So then I was kind of glad you didn't mention me after that, because I kind of thought that might sort of hurt my credibility going forward.
Why did you write that?
It came up and I was like, oh, I missed this.
You know, it was funny watching, because I actually thought those intros, the way they did them, were really good. The way they mashed them all together, I thought it was really neat. But it really went downhill when Papa Roach showed up, and then it hit Nickelback, and it was just in the toilet from there. Like, it's unreal.
Oh, they really just don't know how to pick music.
I know.
At least, you know, in the past 10 years or so.
Yeah. It's just, it was nostalgia for, like, every single one. I was like, oh, that era.
Yeah.
Oh, that era.
Hey,
oh,
there's Ahmed Johnson fighting in a warehouse. Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
So it's not like that I had to go back and track that song down to listen to the whole thing or anything.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, and hey, if you think you hate Nickelback, walk a mile in Canada's shoes, brother, because they're from here, so it's worse here than it is there, I guarantee you. We're ashamed.
Oh, yeah. Nathan, the guy I do my other podcast with, America's Hat, Canada Shorts, he will not stop apologizing
for
Nickel at all. Like, I can understand it. Like, I would do the same.
Yeah,
no, I understand. And I think we did Bieber, too, didn't we?
Yeah.
You gotta live with that.
Well, I, you guys told me I wasn't allowed to swear on here, so we'll stop that conversation right there.
It's okay because you gave us the Hart family and Protest the Hero, so as far as I'm concerned, we're even.
I don't know about that Hart family thing though. They haven't really aged all that well, have they?
No, they haven't. No.
A friend of mine that I used to write with once said that they should do a Hart family DVD, but the segment part of it should just be Paul Bearer walking from coffin to coffin, just like Tales from the Crypt or something like that.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. I would watch it.
I would watch that.
I know. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, there's still a few left alive, but I'm sure that won't be the case for long, knowing these guys. They're jinxed. That family is. And I live in this city where that house is, and it is like the creepiest house in the city. Like, I would say people are scared of it.
Too much bad stuff.
Is
that the one, like, with the dungeon in it and everything?
Oh, yeah. They actually had that as a historical site for a while, and I actually went... My grandpa, when I was a kid, took me there and saw it. And it is kind of, like, they've probably shown it on various DVDs they've done of the Hart family and whatnot.
I've
seen it from the inside, yeah.
I've seen it Wrestling with the Shadow.
Wrestling with Shadows.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, you know, when you're right in there, though, like the wood paneling and,
I mean, I'm pretty sure any house that has a room called the Dungeon is probably going to be creepy.
Yeah,
it's Triple House on the Block.
No, not at all.
It's no surprise. It's no surprise that some tragedies hit that family over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, enough about me. Let's get started.
All right. Yeah, but we have 20 years of Raw to talk about.
That's true.
So initial thoughts, and I know a bunch of people have already pointed this out. I did enjoy the difference between Raw 1000 and this. I mentioned a little bit in my column. Raw 1000, we had a lot more special guests, a lot of surprise visits from legends and all that stuff, but this one, we didn't really have that all as much. We had Mick Foley segment.
Mick Foley and Ric Flair.
And Ric Flair was in the segment and everything.
Yeah.
So that one, it just, I mean, there's a time and place for both. I'm just glad they went this route, seeing as how we just came off of Raw 1000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just my initial, you know, blanket statement.
I kind of agree with that as well, and it's interesting the difference between the two shows, because I noticed that when I was watching it, and I kind of expected it to be more like 1,000, because 20 years is, I don't know if that counts as better or more important than the 1,000 show or what it was. I actually like the 1,000 show quite a bit better than this last one, but the interesting thing about this one was that you saw more of what you would see on a weekly basis from Raw, from what I saw of it, and with 1,000, they brought, you know, a ton of stuff out that you wouldn't see on Raw every week. And I think they did a huge rating for that 1,000 show. And,
oh, yeah.
But they just, they had very little to hook people in after that. You know what I mean? Like, they knew that a lot of those guys and a lot of those gimmicks, you know, DX wasn't coming to beat up Sandow next week, you know, maybe,
right.
Maybe one of them, but even that was unlikely. So
I kind of had a feeling that's the way it was going to be. Cause they really didn't market it at all in the week.
No, it was like the week before they mentioned it.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, then they say, oh, Rock's going to do this concert. And then they didn't even say that until a week beforehand, really pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's, you know, we got, I mean, part of it was, I was sitting there half waiting, you know, for something to happen, but yeah, because there was so little buildup.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I figured we would at least, I kind of figured we would at least see Flair, just because, you know, we hadn't seen him since the Slammies.
Yeah.
So I figured they'll probably roll him out for that, for this occasion. Then, you know, obviously we heard the rumors about the Hall of Fame thing with Mick, so
yeah.
It pretty much hit what I was expecting, I think. But I mean, yeah, there was a little bit part of me where I was like, okay, any second now we're going to hear Piper's Music Kid or something along those lines, you know?
Yeah, I really, like, I would have expected Piper or Steamboat, you know?
Well, Steamboat was there a few weeks ago.
Yeah, when they were in his hometown.
That's right. I forgot all about that. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is Foley the main guy for the Hall of Fame this year? Or do they have another entrant now? I thought I might have been reading something today that they have somebody else.
Yeah, I'd seen certain reports are saying that there will either DX or The Click would be inducted this year.
Yeah.
Really?
Just depending on who all they want to include. I would find it more likely if they would induct DX. Because The Click wasn't really all that official.
No. Yeah.
DX was kind of more of a thing out in front of the camera.
I would say back when The Click was, like, around, I would say probably the casual fan probably didn't even know what The Click was. Unless they were talking about Shawn Michaels' fans, because he called them The Click for a while, didn't he?
Yeah. I think that was pretty much what he was going with until they came up with the DX name. Because I do remember a bunch of promos him kept referencing The Click.
Yeah.
I think what they're wanting, their only reason that they're considering it is because they're wanting to throw in Kevin Nash with it. But they probably, I think they're still trying to distance themselves from Scott Hall, too. So
yeah.
That's the catch-22 that they're trying to figure out.
I mean, do you think Nash will ever get in on his own? Like, maybe several years down the road when they need to
I would think they would throw him in.
He should get in there, I think.
Right, like, just, you know, his accomplishments in, well, WWF back then.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was kind of part of the freaking NWO.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I mean, that's the thing, it's like,
so if they want to induct him as part of any kind of,
I'm always
going to
associate him. I'm always going to associate him with NWO.
Right.
And, you know, they're just now with the DVD and stuff, really starting to
try and... Horrible.
That was the worst DVD.
The NWO one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting a little bit more from that, because they kind of botched that first NWO DVD they did, and I thought this one would be quite a bit better.
I was expecting, you know, some new interviews with people. But
yeah, no, all the interviews were from...
years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I think, yeah, it was all interviews from years ago. I think the Nash ones were new... But then I think the X-Pac ones were new too. But
well, yeah, those were
he looked like a
still good with the company.
He looked like he was on his way to film Walking Dead, so that was just depressing. So it was terrible. Yeah, no, I wasn't a big fan of it either.
I didn't watch that until it hit Netflix. But
yeah, same here.
It was a bummer to finally get around to.
And NWO was like my that was like the one thing, like I was in school when that hit, you know what I mean? Like everybody watched that back then, and I thought the NWO was the coolest thing way back then, so it was really disappointing that they couldn't have put out a better DVD of it. Oh well.
I would think they would have to eventually.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe, and I can't, it's hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that they couldn't get Hogan to do any new interviews with it, because they were able to get him for that, what was it, the History of WrestleMania documentary that they did. They brought him in even when he was with TNA at the time. Yeah,
did they really? I don't know that I saw that one.
It was really good, and they brought him in for that, even though he was with TNA, because, you know, love him or hate him, he was a big part of the early days of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, I just don't understand how they couldn't have worked something out.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I want to say eventually there will be, like, a really good NWO documentary. But,
it has to be, yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of tough. These guys have to get good with the company again.
Yeah.
And, right. You know, and to do that, you know, how long is it going to take Hogan to actually leave TNA and, you know, come back to WWE?
Or just not even that. Just get, you know, mend some broken bridges or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. And might it have been tricky though to get Hogan, because didn't they didn't they have a lawsuit going on with TNA not too long ago?
I think they still do. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I knew that had something to do with it.
I knew that was rumored why it took so long to bring Ric Flair
right
back in the company, just because there was some claim about WWE tampering with their current talent to bring them over as soon as their contract ended with TNA or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Because TNA was using them so well.
Yeah.
We're off topic again. Raw.
Yes, we got the documentaries.
That happens.
Yeah.
I gotta say, like, as super, you know, Mick Foley fan, I would be upset if he's not the main guy this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he's like one, I really feel he's earned it. To be the guy. So, and I'd be just a DX can wait a year, because Triple H is not done wrestling.
Well, so. And when, you know, as these years go on, they're going to start running out of guys, so they shouldn't be in any hurry to jam-pack these Hall of Fame events, because, you know, they're running out of past guys, I think, that they can put in. So, you know, do DX year 1 year, do Owen 1 year, do, you know, do what you got to do to stretch it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think... And, you know, a lot of this is just really just people saying what they think they hear or rumors or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking the big reason why they're talking about this now is because this seems like the first year in a long time where we've had this many former DX members that were good with the company.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's probably what it is, to be honest with you.
Almost all.
Almost all.
Not China, but...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're not going to...
ever
drink in a porn star.
Oh,
well,
God.
stars saying that loosely, but yes.
You know, I used to, this is going to take us way off topic again, but I used to, the site I used to write for before Pulse picked me up, one guy recapped the China porn.
Oh, Lord.
And it was the funniest thing you've ever read in your life. It was unbelievable. I wish I had a copy of it somewhere. But anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
The one time, like, one of the times I tried to get back into TNA was right when Mick Foley, like, he was revealed to be, like, the network connection or something.
I was recapping it.
But Mick Foley came back, and China was in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really caught me off guard.
I was recapping TNA for Pulse then, and it was, that would have been a real tough time to get into it, man. I wanted to get out, so I can't imagine how hard of it would have been to get in.
So that was the thing, because Mick's story got killed because he was there for like 3 weeks, and then it was announced that he was going to be leaving and coming back to WWE.
Yeah,
and so I was, that's it, I'm done. Washing my hands of this again.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
at least you tried.
Yeah. I try every couple of months. I'm like, no, it's good. I'm ready for some wrestling on Thursday.
I think the last match Flair ever had was against Foley and TNA. And it was, like, it was on TV. It was on Impact, so free TV. And they just about killed each other. And it was, you first heard they were doing it, and you're like, they're not serious, right? And then they absolutely murdered each other for like 20 minutes.
Well, yeah.
Tables
and
chairs.
Of course they did. It's, you know, it's who those two guys are, no matter what the show is.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that they threw that on free TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are pay-worthy names.
Yep.
So,
oh, yeah.
Like,
even now, yeah.
Yeah. So.
It is TNA.
It is TNA. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But we move along. So, big feuds that are happening right now. How does everybody feel about the fantastic booking of Cena and Dolph Ziggler?
I mean, a lot of people have been upset with the whole Super Cena thing.
Yeah.
And Joel, you're the one that you pointed it out, both in your column and when I was just talking to you, that, you know, Ziggler's probably come as close as anybody not named Rock or
Punk,
yeah, that's coming that close to beating him. So it doesn't kill Ziggler as far as his momentum or anything. It's just, it's kind of getting,
honestly, momentum wise, I'm worried about Big E. Like, he is not pulling his weight as an enforcer right now.
But he held up in his foot. He did all he can.
Yeah, that's right.
And if he's gonna,
he gave that giant fits hell.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know, maybe it's different for me because I don't watch it faithfully every week. I, you know, watch highlights or recaps. But I think with the you know, back to what you just said, is that, you know, Cena doesn't often lose, and even to Punk. And I've debated with people about this. He never beat Punk clean ever. He came close a couple times, and there's, you know, it's not saying he always cheated. Maybe there was a foot on, I think there was a foot on the rope somewhere, or, you know, or there was a run in from someone that wasn't with either guy. But other than Rock, I can't think of anybody that's, you know, not in the past, what, 7-8 years that has gone over Cena clean. So I kind of agree. I think that Dolph getting as close as he is, probably, you know, that's enough alone. You know, I'm not a huge Dolph guy. I do like him. I think he's good. I think he's a little overrated, but I do like him, and, you know, I certainly don't think that the stuff he's been doing with Cena is going to hurt him at all. I think what's going to end up happening to Dolph is he's probably going to end up, you know, taking the cred that he gets from hanging with Cena and getting so close as he was to beating Cena, and he's probably going to take it over to the SmackDown belt with Del Rio, Sheamus, and they'll probably do a schmoz there. But I do agree with you about Big E, though. I never really thought of it like that until you just mentioned it. You know, he's been doing everything. There's nothing else he can do. He can bring a gun and shoot the guy, but other than that, I mean, he's not, you know, everything he's done, Cena just sort of kicks out of. But, I mean, the Cena, I don't know, it doesn't really surprise me the way they've done it. Does it surprise you guys the way they've done the Cena-Ziggler thing? Did you think Ziggler was going over Cena clean?
I mean, definitely not clean.
No.
But, you know, as he's
at
supposed
least,
to be a heel, I would be happy for him to win with English tactics.
You would think Ziggler could pick up the win with, what, two finishers and another run-in with Big E?
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, he got
last
kicked.
Week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like, depending on what you consider a finisher, there were as many as four finishers this week.
Well, you know, that's actually, you know, like I said, I'm not huge on Dolph, but one of the things I really like about him, and that a lot of other guys in that WWE don't have, is that he has a few different moves that can take you down. But I think, I agree with you, though. I think there were at least, you know, and I watched that match from last week, too, and there were three or four points there where I think Cena could have gone down to Dolph, whether it be from the interference or something else. There are three points where Cena could have gone down to Dolph and not have lost any cred from that. So, you know,
yeah.
So they certainly could have had Dolph win, absolutely.
I mean, the Big E point aside, the only thing that really deeply bothers me is as soon as Cena wins, he's, like, magically better. He never, like,
right. He
leaves totally wrecked from the ring.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, even though I'm really burned out on Sheamus right now, when Sheamus wins, he still looks like he's been torn apart.
I think that's because Sheamus'
skin is so white that
he shows
every mark is on him. But.
Well, plus Sheamus only wrestles for 5 minutes and he's winded as hell, so he's probably not so much selling. But no, I know what you mean. But I think honestly, I think I'm just numb to the Super Cena thing at this point. You know, it doesn't really surprise me.
Yeah, we counted up a while back, and other than The Rock at WrestleMania last year, the last time Cena's won completely clean or lost completely cleanly was the 2009 TLC when Sheamus beat him.
Wait a minute, though.
That wasn't really clean, though. He pushed him off the off in, onto a table.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a pin, but it's the only time that interference hasn't happened.
And you're both conveniently forgetting the loss from earlier this year that he had, the very devastating one on Raw. Oh, yeah. It's the guy that won all your classies. Tensai! Tensai beat him.
Tensai beat him cleanly?
Tensai beat Cena clean on Raw. Absolutely. It was really weird. It came out of nowhere. And then the next week, it was basically forgotten about. It was right before the Brock thing.
Clearly it was forgotten about. Jeez. They have that much faith in Tensai at any one point.
I think it's just us trying to erase everything from that Tensai push.
Yeah.
From our minds. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, no. I just
looked it up. It was on April 16th. April 16th on the Raw.
I'll have to check that out.
If you say so.
All right, we'll take your word for it.
I never saw it. I never saw it, but I remember that sticking out at me like a huge blinking light when I read it. Like, what? Like, what?
Yeah, I remember the match. I remember Tensai winning. I just can't remember if it was clean or not.
That makes the fall of Tensai even greater.
Yeah, it really does.
Beating Cena cleanly.
Instead of jumping from a medium-sized building, he's now jumped off the tall building. Yeah, no, I
yeah.
Yeah, tripping on his face at the classy or at the slammies. Is that award show?
Well, had the classies been an actual physical award show, he may have tripped there too. You never know.
There you go.
Yes, we would have demanded it.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly.
All right, but we move on to the Rock concert,
which okay, on paper, this really should have just angered me to no end, especially because like I said last time, the last segment last week, I completely just lost it on Twitter. Well, not completely, but I was pretty angry. By all accounts, this should have done the same for me. I like this week a lot better. You know, Rock wasn't nearly as, annoying in my eyes. especially, okay, the Rock concert from earlier this year, just before WrestleMania, was pretty horrible, I thought. And it drug on way too long.
It did go on a long time.
This one, I think, I'm so glad he decided to call out CM Punk just because he could get it over with. Just yeah. End the line. Yeah, yeah, people dug the whole Vicky Guerrero thing. I mean, that kind of, like, I'm kind of done with the Vicky hate, to be honest with you. Like, he can only, like, call her ugly so many times.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, at least they stopped making the fat jokes, because that just doesn't even make sense anymore. You know?
That's because Vicky got ripped, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She is cut now. It's unreal.
Oh, yeah. She'd probably take care of me.
I think it really helps that The Rock seems to be taking CM Punk seriously. Hmm. Like, In his promos, like, he's congratulated the 400
oh, really?
Plus days.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did.
He's taking it seriously with the whole Cookie Puss thing. Yeah.
Okay. Ignore the Cookie Puss thing. Ignore the Cookie Puss thing.
All right.
But he said good things about CM, and he didn't sing specifically about CM Punk, which,
oh, yeah.
You know, the thing is, he never, in any round concert, he doesn't ever acknowledge wrestling ability or any other talent. It's 99% making fun of physical appearances.
Well, that's what
it's and that's not specific to a Rock concert. That's just kind of his thing, you know what I mean? Like, for sure. No, I know. I think they're, you know, I much prefer the way they're doing this to the way they did Rock Cena. And I didn't hate Rock Cena or anything, but, you know, I think that this thing at the Rumble is going to be I wasn't crazy about the Rock concert. But yeah, I think Rock and Punk is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to watching it, and I don't look forward to a lot, but this, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, I think we both definitely agree with you on that. I think the thing that killed a lot of us with Rock and Cena was just, you know, it was over the course of an entire year.
Yeah,
and then we pretty much got these promos between the two. After we'd already been anticipating this for like 10 months at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we were just kind of burnt out on, you know, the anticipation aspect of it. So,
yeah.
You know, this time around, we didn't haven't had nearly as much time to stew on it or anything like that. So I think that has something to do with it. also, once again, you know, just with CM Punk's character and Rock having to draw off of that, you know, I kind of do agree with what Joel was saying with, you know, it seems like he's taking him a little bit more seriously, you know, just because now we definitely have a heel in this situation.
Yeah.
You know, when we really didn't have that, we had two guys who were still trying to appeal to the fans and still try to, you know, get a cheer out of the fans at the same time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this one just feels a lot more, I don't know, it feels a little bit like everyone's a little bit more at home.
Well, yeah. While we're on that Rock Punk thing, I wanted to ask, I don't remember which one of you guys said it, but one of you guys said it in your column that you thought Punk was going to be an entrant to the Rumble or whatever. So, like, I don't actually know what they're going to, like, you think they're going to take the belt off Punk and give it to Rock then?
Right. And see, I've been thinking that ever since they made the match, to be honest with you. Just because I felt like what they were going to do was make CM Punk be this unstoppable heel over the course of those next 6 months. We didn't quite get that. We got more of the, you know, the backdoor, you know,
yeah.
sneaky type heel.
The lazy heel.
CM Punk, he can make it work at times, but we've seen it cut so many different ways, so it's just, I don't know, it's not as good, I don't think. But I still don't see how the company, you know, doesn't put the belt on him at this point.
Sorry, go ahead, bud.
It's been, you know, we've always kind of said, half joking, half serious, if The Rock wanted to be champion, the company would bend backwards to make him champion again.
They gave him a birthday party.
Yeah.
They gave him a birthday party back in 2011. Come on.
Yeah.
And so, that you know, and this would be the time to do it between Rumble and Mania. You guarantee him in two of your biggest pay-per-views. And,
right.
you know, you get the numbers for the time that WWE really wants to get the numbers.
Because mm-hmm. we're already seeing a big increase in numbers just
yeah.
from him being back for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he brings some cash, that's for sure. I mean, it's interesting because it's like I said, I mean, I don't disagree. I could totally see them giving The Rock the belt. But on the other hand, I could see them, you know, there's a few ways they could get to Rock Cena if that is what they're going to do, which I hope it's not what they're going to do. But if they do, they can get, you know, they can get there without the belt and have Punk still keep it. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe they want to do it with the belt this time. So it's, they, you know,
right.
in their minds, it's one step up from last year. Maybe that's what they're thinking. I don't know. I just
yeah.
didn't think it was as foregone a conclusion. What I thought was, you know, what I thought was going to happen was, I thought they'd put Punk with Shield by now. I thought they would have just sort of made it a stable or whatever you want to call it. And I thought
yeah.
that, you know, Rock would be beating Punk, Shield would come in, Rock would kick their ass, and then just as it looks like Rock's going to put away Punk, Brock would come. I thought they were going to go for Brock and Rock. That seemed like a pretty, you know, if you're not going to put Rock with Cena, which I didn't think they would, then it seemed like that would be the logical way to go for Rock to, you know, be his last match or whatever it was, but you know, from what I'm reading, that's not the case. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, because, and I think, I don't know, we all have to check our classic retire records, because I think, because we, after WrestleMania in 2012, we did, you know, our prediction a whole year ahead of time of what we thought the next WrestleMania was going to be, and I think I said Brock and Rock, too.
Did you say Brock?
I think I said
Brock and Taker.
I think
right,
Brock Rock kind of writes itself, though.
Right, because that's the one thing I was thinking. I was like, you know, Brock will likely be in the next WrestleMania, so will Rock. There's only a few people that WWE would put in the ring with those two guys, and
yeah.
it was basically Taker, Punk, Cena, maybe Triple H.
Yeah.
You know, any combination of those.
Yeah, I mean, you got a handful of names that you can basically pull two names out of a hat and write a good storyline
right.
between those two.
And, you know, going back to what you were saying about, you know, them probably wanting to add the belt in the mix with, you know, Rock and Cena too. It just, I don't know. All signs indicate towards that. And I don't know. Like, I think the only reason that they would do that is if they would have it for the belt so we don't get, you know, a repeat of last year as far as, you know, the sentiment behind it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So that
certainly
means Cena wins the Rumble, then, I would think.
Do what?
That means Cena wins the Rumble, then, I would think.
Yeah, I know. I made that point a few weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just, I hated myself for having that thought.
Oh, I feel like that's kind of like the standard prediction right now is Rock beats Punk and then Cena wins the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way you get your WrestleMania main event. But I'm hoping that's running so rampant across the internet
that WWE decides to pull the plug.
We'll change it just out of spite.
Because they like to do that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, absolutely. I sure hope they don't go that way, because if we get, you know, if we get Rock Cena 2, then that pretty much guarantees we're getting Triple H and Brock again, and it's just like, ugh. I almost fall asleep just saying it, just because it's already been done, you know what I mean? And Triple H Brock didn't really do all that much for me. Anyway. Continue.
Anyway, is there anything else anybody wants to say about 20th anniversary?
I have a quick question. What did you guys think of Del Rio? That was one thing that kind of stuck out and surprised me.
I mean, I'm okay with I don't know. I have all these thoughts in my head.
I was so done with him being a heel.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we were okay with him being a face just because it seemed like, you know, the brief time he's been with the company, he was already, you know, blown through any type of heel situation that he can explore.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with him being a face. I'm really still wrapping my head around with that, and I feel like the audience is as well.
Mm.
And so to put the belt on him while we're still trying to figure out how we feel about this, it seems like it's all kind of a blur.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I'm surprised that they did it on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's...
This close to the Rumble, I'm surprised they did it on SmackDown.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm okay with it. He had a pretty good promo, I thought, to start off the show.
And I was surprised at the reaction. Like, I thought, I thought he got a pretty good reaction. Surprised.
Less than a month ago, this dude ran up for Santa.
I know.
Let's not forget that.
I know. Crazy. But, well, no, I've always liked Del Rio. Like, I think I would have gotten bored with anybody doing his shtick that he was doing as a bad guy, like he said. But I've always really liked him, and it's tough because I can't see this ending all that well for him, you know what I mean? Them turning him so quick and then putting a belt on him right away. It tends not to go over well a lot of the time. I hope it works for him, but yeah, no, I was just surprised that, he got as good a crowd as he did, and you know, maybe that's the Houston thing. I don't know.
It might be. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, a good crowd will do a lot for you.
Yep.
Like,
this... Lord knows Miami.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Miami last year did wonders for guys like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's done that. This on Raw, the Divas match got a great crowd reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was
like
a good Divas match.
Best
yeah.
I've seen in a while.
Yeah, sure. I guess I'm.
I mean, what have you seen in a while?
Granted, I can't remember any of the other ones, so sure.
It ended without a roll up.
There you go. All right, fair enough. Fair point.
It ended on a spear. I don't think I've ever experienced that in the past.
And okay, did anyone else hear any news that Eve was leaving the company beforehand?
Not until
I didn't hear that until during the match.
I heard it. Yeah, I think I saw it somewhere a day of because I was looking around at what was going on.
So.
There are so many Divas casualties in the past year.
I think they're just going to fold the whole thing up, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I don't know that would be all that terrible a thing, you know?
Well, because, I mean, obviously they can have women in storylines, because we're seeing that with AJ.
Yeah.
AJ can kind of hold her own without even being in a single match. I can't remember. The last time she was in a match was when they were here in Greensboro.
Yeah,
Tamina.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they can have girls. There's nothing wrong with having girls on the show, absolutely. But I love women. I have all their albums. But, you know, if you're going to have them in a wrestling division, I feel like they should get some more who can actually wrestle instead of falling over each other while they try to do a hip toss. Like, you know, no offense, that I haven't enjoyed a Divas match. And I have tried in a very long time. Mondays was, I guess, better than the norm, but to me, it was just more of the same.
I mean, I'd still be bitter if they wanted me to pay for it. But
okay, yeah, fair point.
As far as free on TV, and you know, and as low as my expectations are as a standard.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. I can't argue with that. And then
I think half of it was the crowd getting into it, and I was going, "Okay, crowd, yeah,
maybe they know something that I don't."
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think the Divas division. It seemed like it lost a lot when we never got Karma and Beth.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That was the savior of the division that never came, was that match.
And now neither one is in the company.
Right.
Well, Karma in general could have been a huge thing for them.
Oh, yeah.
The one of the only, you know, TNA has had, believe it or not, they've had more good women's matches than WWE has in the last 5 or 6 years. I think some of the best I've ever seen were Karma and Gail, like in TNA. If you haven't seen those, they're like really surprisingly good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think they were better than a lot of the guys' matches on TNA. Not that that's saying much for TNA, but I'm just saying. Yeah, no, Karma could have done a lot for them. It's a shame how that whole thing ended up.
Yeah, I remember right when I started getting back into wrestling after my break. I think there were like 4 active Divas at the time.
How many?
I remember that because that was when they were doing the first Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view, and I couldn't think of any more.
How
it was
many
like
are,
Reese and Alicia Fox.
How many are left now?
Yeah, and they
yeah,
like so many of those have gone now. So
yeah, I think the only divas that's been here longer than a couple of years is probably Alicia Fox and Layla, I think.
Now, I know Alicia Fox is terrible, but is Layla the one that's, she's not bad? Is she all right? I don't remember.
She's gotten better. She does, there's this one move of hers that it drives me insane every time. She does like this two-hop springboard thing in the corner. She'll springboard off the bottom rope, then hop off the second rope on the other side of the corner, and then fly back towards the opponent, and I just think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Hey, that's a
all
Vader
of her
bomb.
Moves is fine. I'm okay with all of her moveset and everything, but that one in particular just drives me insane.
Yeah,
because it looks like she's doing more work with her arms trying to lift herself up than she is actually bouncing off the rope.
Well, that's probably not that far from the truth. Yeah, other than the Del Rio thing, I didn't have that much more on Raw. I thought it was some pretty dull show, to be honest. Cena Ziggler was probably the highlight for me, and I'm not really big on either guy, but
okay.
I just
didn't like the ending to the match. That was the only downside of that match. Other than that, I thought it was a really good match.
Yeah.
The only other thing I had was for Raw was that first match that they did was Orton and Barrett, and I've mentioned I don't usually watch full shows because I find a lot of the matches to be no fun. And about 5 minutes into that Orton and Barrett thing, I was just like, oh, God, please. And like just, and then they went to a commercial in the middle of it, and I was like, for this? And then they come back and they go, here's what we missed during the break. And Wade kicks Randy in the stomach. It was like the break was like 3 minutes long. That's your high spot of your 3 minute break was they kicked him in the stomach. Like, oh, I can't believe I missed that. Like, oh yeah, no, I just the wrestling on that show, guys, for me is just Cena Ziggler was good, and I, you know, Cena, I don't particularly like watching him in any capacity, but I find that he can have decent matches depending on who's in there with him.
Absolutely,
aside from the odd exception of he'll wrestle someone bad and it'll somehow turn out to be good, that has occasionally happened, but Ziggler, you know, he can pull that match, a good match out of him has definitely made me look at Ziggler and maybe he's better than I originally thought he was, you know, because not just anybody can do that with Cena.
Oh yeah, come over to the Ziggler side, sir.
Yeah,
join us.
Yeah, I won't lie. I'm a lot further ahead than I was, you know, probably a good year ago. And I think the best match I've seen him have has been in that one with Punk, which was about a year ago, the Rumble. That was
a lot better than
I thought it was.
That's
gonna be.
That was one of the saddest things about a Punk heel turn was it kind of negated any more Punk and Ziggler opportunities.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen them face off more.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
Yeah.
All right. I think that does it for me on Raw.
Yeah, but now it's time to delve into the wrestling history of our special guest this week.
Uh-huh.
So we want to ask, basically, you know, how you got into wrestling. What was the thing that really hooked you? Whether it was a specific match or wrestler or just a general feeling, and then why you've stayed a fan for as long as you have? Because we're assuming that, you know, much like we sometimes confront you don't, your, you know, appreciation of wrestling is not welcome with open arms.
It depends, man. Like, it's, well, I got into it because I was born in Calgary, and we lived out in Edmonton, or sorry, in Winnipeg for a few years. I moved back to Calgary at the age of like 9 or 10, you know what I mean? And that's a tough age to move a kid. I went from, you know, you go to a new city where you don't have a lot of friends, which was tough for me because it was different than the old city where I also didn't have a lot of friends. So that was tough because it was, you know, and then I, you know, my grandpa was into wrestling and he knew Stu Hart a little bit. And so, yeah, I just started hanging out with him and watching wrestling, picked up a couple wrestling video games and got into that. And back then, I think Warrior was probably my guy. You know, I used to have one of those Big Boss Man wrestling buddies that I just used to beat the snot out of. And that's after I would get beaten up, I would come home and beat up that toy. That poor toy suffered some referent violence, I can tell you that. But and you know, I loved it all the way through, you know, the Attitude and the Monday Night War. I would actually say even through to like 2002, where things started to get shaky. I would say since 2003, it's just been a real slow decline for me. Right now, though, like, I like it because, and that's how I got started with the writing, is because I came across a wrestling humor site that used to be around called the DDT, and that's where I met Swayze and a bunch of other, you know, a few other people that I will watch the shows with in these little chat rooms or whatever. And that's more the level I enjoy the show on these days, is with people who are sort of like-minded about it. If it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't really watch much of it at all. But I would read the recaps and I'd watch the highlights, you know what I mean? Like, I like the age that we're in now because I can hear from other people if a match is good and then I'll go watch it. Or if something's funny, you know what I mean? I'll go watch that. Like that 3MB thing that they're doing now, you know, everybody told me that was good, so I went and watched that, and I didn't think it was all that impressive. But then they got to the one part where, what's the one guy? Jinder Mahal. He's like, I'm the funny one, and I kind of got a kick out of that. You know what I mean? So I like that you don't necessarily have to watch the full shows anymore. I don't think that's their intent. But you know, what else? For me, Ring of Honor just started putting out DVDs from way back in the day. Like their current thing is like a. It's like a rug on Valium. It is just a snooze fest. But if you go back to like 2002 to 2007, I would say they had a 5-year run in there, and we didn't have Ring of Honor in Canada. So I haven't seen a lot of this stuff. So I've probably over the last year, I probably got my hands on 12 or 13 Ring of Honor DVDs. It's like, it's weird. It was like somebody kind of realized, like, you know, we have a lot of CM Punk footage, and we have a lot of, you know, Brian and Austin Aries and these other guys. And so I've been watching a lot of those. Those are great. But yeah, I mean, you can find stuff in wrestling still to enjoy. All quite often Raw for me, it'll be on in the background while I'm doing other stuff, or I'll read a recap. This time of year though is always kind of fun. Like I can't imagine, no matter how disenfranchised I get with it, that I won't watch WrestleMania. Because that was, you know, back when I couldn't pay for my own pay-per-views and my parents would let me get them, that was the one why I would always pick. If I was really good, sometimes they'd let me get Royal Rumble too. That was always my favorite. So, you know, I'll always kind of enjoy it on that basis, I think. I think when you're that young with it, at the very least, you'll keep up with what's going on. And I'm looking for, like, I haven't watched full shows since the TNA thing. So this thing that I'm doing now where they kind of helped me pick 13 shows to do, and so I'm looking forward over the next 4 or 5 months or something like that now to do those, just to see what they're like. The biggest thing I probably like about it now, wrestling, is just interacting with fans and seeing what they like. You know what I mean? And,
Oh, you know,
today would I have enjoyed The Ultimate Warrior? Probably not. but that's how you can sort of see why kids like Cena today. You know what I mean? Like, I've gone to the live shows every once in a while, too. The time before that, I went to Raw when it was here. And I had a lot of fun. And that was a horrible show, but I still had a great time. You know what I mean? Like, being around, like, the fans.
Oh, yeah. When we went to the live show, we thought we were at a really good... We thought we got a really good episode until
we watched it on TV.
It was like, wow, this was really terrible.
Oh, we got a bad episode.
Yeah, no. Of course, I had a friend take me to that Raw, and there was a private box, so I just got loaded. But beyond that, it was... No, I had a lot of fun. I have lots of fun at live shows. Fans are just so much fun to watch these days. And you can even see that on Pulse and the comments and stuff.
The last time they were down here... Joel didn't go, but me and my college roommate, we went, and we were, like, sandwiched in between, like, the row in front of us was a whole bunch of, you know, kids, Cena fans, and behind us there were, you know, older guys who just kept talking about, you know, remember back when this happened, But they were also law school students, so every now and then they would go into this big tangent about this class that they just came out of, and using big words and stuff, and I'm like...
you're in the wrong building.
Exactly. We're sitting there talking about, like, you know, like economic standards and stuff like that. I'm like, no, I'm trying to watch wrestling. Shut up.
Well, you know what? It's interesting too. Like, they run more shows today. You know, you can say what you want about not as many people watching it. They make more money, that company, every single year. So they got to be doing something right. And they run more shows now. The amount of TV they have on is staggering. Like. It's unreal. I certainly don't think there's ever been a period where they've had this many TV shows. So, you know, whatever they're doing, they're making their money, so they should be pretty pleased with that. It's for me, the match quality is, that's not for everybody, but for me, that's just kind of important to me. So it's tough for me to sit through a show, and that's why it's tough to sit through shows. It's tough to sit there and be like, okay, we're into the first hour, and now we're going to do Miz TV for 20 minutes. And, but don't, you know, after that, we've got Sheamus and Barrett. It's like, so now it's not only this I got to suffer through. I get to watch Sheamus and Wade Barrett next. You know what I mean? Like, there are just guys that I can't get excited to watch because the matches are just so slow for me. Mark Henry was a guy like that for me. I was legitimately surprised that people received that as well as they did. You know?
You never got behind the Hall of Fame?
To me, it looked like Mark Henry was doing the same thing that he ever did, except all that was different was that guys were bouncing off him and he was pinning him. I could not, for the life, I got in trouble. I did a recap because...
I remember your writings during that.
And I wasn't trying to be a dick, but I was legitimately surprised at how, because I had just done TNA before that. I had no idea that anybody, you know, I never really paid attention to what anybody was saying about WWE. I just read the recaps and went on my merry way. But then I did the Sheamus and Mark Henry match, and I don't remember the pay-per-view, but it was one of their earlier ones. And I just watched it, and I was bored to tears, and I tried to have some fun with an expense, and then I went to bed that night, and I woke up the next morning, and I looked at the comments, and I thought, whoa. I was legitimately surprised that people found it as good as they did. Mark Henry, to me, is just one of those guys. I don't think I've ever seen a good match. Mark Henry's not a guy. That's nothing against him, you know what I mean? Like, Mark Henry's just not, to me, a guy that I would expect a good match from. So
I remember that pay-per-view. I think I remember that match because I think the biggest thing that I remember about it was I think that was the one where Mark Henry, like, speared Sheamus into the wall, the barricade or whatever.
Yeah.
And it sent this poor security guy flying out of the screen. Yeah,
that part was pretty cool. It was moderately cool, but it was just that was like the one thing. The rest of it was just, it had lots of material for the axe handle enthusiast, I'll give you that. Lots of stuff for people who liked axe handles. But yeah, no, I was really, and that was when I really started having fun on Pulse, because I was like, okay, well, if they, you know, if they like this stuff, I can have some fun. But it's tricky. Like, there are odd matches though that come out of nowhere with two guys that aren't good that I'll like. Like, I made the example in probably an article somewhere, but earlier last year, or was it last year? I think it was last year. Sheamus and Orton had a match at the main event of SmackDown, and so I'm reading, you know, the spoilers, and I was like, well, there's no way I'm watching that, you know, like, but then a bunch of people, I think it was even Swayze, was like, you're going to be really surprised, it's actually really good, and then I went and watched it, and it was like, wow, that actually was pretty good, you know what I mean? So there are surprises out there, you just gotta be patient enough to find them.
Yeah, and that's every week, you know, you think maybe this will be that week.
Well, and
4 months that we got Del Rio and Sheamus this past year for like 4 months straight.
Yeah,
you know, you would think at some point they would have a decent match.
Yeah,
I mean, it's almost like they were trying. Like one time, like one of these times, they're going to have a good match. Just you watch.
Yeah,
and just, it never happened.
Well, what do you guys think?
To increase every time,
right?
Well, that was gonna be one of the things I was gonna ask you guys. Like last, like around the time that happened, that I started recapping that people. Generally, people, and not just Pulse people, like internet people, just tended to be like, yeah, Sheamus is going to be big and he's going to do this. And clearly, that was their plan. You know, they had him win the Royal Rumble, they had him beat Bryan a couple times, and they had him beat a ton of, you know, he beat Jericho, he beat Ziggler, he beat. There's others, I know there is, but he went through everybody. And now, what do you think? What's your guys' opinion? Is he going to get back up there again, or is he going to be on a downward slope? Did he work out as well as you thought he was gonna with crowds and with matches?
The crowd seems to be behind him.
Yeah,
you think so?
In most shows,
I've been so like hot and cold on Sheamus back and forth.
Right.
Like he'll have like a 2 month streak. And I'm like, this is it. This is where Sheamus makes it. This is gonna be Sheamus. This is gonna be the moment that we look back on the Sheamus DVD. 5 years from now, and then 2 months later, I'll be like, I never want to see Sheamus
ever again.
I'm
never going to watch that DVD.
See, I don't think he's getting a DVD in 5 years, boys. I just don't.
No.
It's just, and I've always kind of thought that about him. And it's tough. Like, he's in a tough spot, too, because I don't think he can particularly act, and I don't particularly think he wrestles that well, but part of the problem, like, obviously a lot of that fault isn't his. They give him some horrible material to work with, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's not his fault. And Wade Barrett, he's the flip side of that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see him going anywhere. You know, I think that's just
yeah,
me.
And I mean, we've heard all the rumors that, you know, before he got hurt last year, he was supposed to get this big push towards
yeah.
the heavyweight championship and everything, you know. And it just seems like he's one of those guys where if they don't have him in any sort of title picture, they don't really have much else for him, and that's, you know, it could be a mixture of creative and as well as his own personality. And you know, Kofi Kingston, to be honest with you, he's one of those guys in that same boat, really,
yeah.
because
yeah.
he's one of those guys where creatively they just have him just kind of roaming wherever they need him in the Intercontinental or whenever they need
yeah.
a high spot, really, yeah.
Yeah, they need the Rumble spot because they don't have Shelton Benjamin anymore. No, I hear you. Like, I the thing is, I really like Kofi. I think he could have been a lot bigger. I think they had the chance back in when he did the Orton thing, 9, 10, can't remember when it was, but
I think
they had a shot then. But I remember he got in trouble for some. I don't remember what it was, but he got in trouble, and then I just think he floundered for too long, and that's got to be tricky. So I think you're right. I don't think he's just one of those guys. If he's not on the show, I don't think that many people are gonna notice. Yeah, I don't think barely anybody would notice if Barrett wasn't on the show either. Sheamus has that, by the way. Sheamus is unique looking enough that people would notice that he wasn't there. It's just a
yeah.
question. Is he going to turn into the Kozlov guy where he gets started in his career with a big push, which is how Kozlov started, and then he becomes like a sidekick. You know what I mean? Or he
right.
becomes,
and, I mean,
he
yeah,
becomes a
that
foreign
happened
comedy
with,
act.
With Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
They pushed him right out the gate.
Yeah.
He won the thing, got the belt.
Yeah, he won the heavyweight belt, and then he hasn't done anything since.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's I don't think, you know, just shoving a guy down the throat necessarily works. I think that might come back to bite Ryback at some point. Ryback's a little different than those guys.
Yeah,
I think
he seems to be a little bit more over with the fans than...
He'll have more success than those guys did. Right. But
we just don't know how long that'll last.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Why is Red Barrett writing his name on his ass, by the way? I feel like he's three.
I have no idea.
He's 3 years in now. I think he should have the confidence that people are going to remember who he is.
Yeah,
and that was what. And it looked like they're like glued on block letters, like you'd buy at a craft store. And it looks like the B is going to kind of one of the glue spots is going to come off, and it's just going to start hanging all lopsided or something like that. He could just be like a hobo wrestler. I would watch that.
See, that's a gimmick I'd watch.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
And you could play up the whole, you know, street fight thing that he does.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I just think, like, and that was the one thing I noticed, you know, watching Raw, too, that, you know, Cesaro and Del Rio, to me, seem like a lot better choices for those big spots than Sheamus and Barrett, just to use a face and a heel and a face and a heel to make the comparison. Just those are the three that
Cesaro,
I choose.
Cesaro is somebody that's really... He's over with me.
Definitely given quite a shine to Cesaro.
Yeah,
in the past couple of weeks,
especially the what was that? That was a YouTube video that WWE put out this week.
Yeah, I never watched that until somebody emailed it to me or something like that, and I thought that was pretty cool. Hey, what
it was
about
just him interacting with the people of Columbus, Georgia? I don't think you've seen it, Joel. No, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, watch that. It's pretty good. What about The Miz though? That's getting uncomfortable to watch.
Remember when I liked The Miz?
I remember when you liked The Miz. It was like right when he won Money in the Bank, I think.
Yeah, it was a little bit before that, and then like he won Money in the Bank. I was like, yes, this is it. And
I think the last high moment he's had was that Hate Me Now promo.
Hate Me Now promo.
That was a really good promo.
That was the WrestleMania one. You guys talked about that last week, didn't you?
Yeah.
The WrestleMania one, Hate Me Now, yeah.
Like he managed to pull out like continuous great matches with Lawler for like 2 months there.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. But just ever since WrestleMania, it's just not much has gone on for him. He's getting, you know, leftover movies essentially. And I
think he has the potential to be a great face because he gives off this impression of just loving wrestling and loving WWE so much.
Right, and he's one of the few guys that's, you know, willing to do as much press as he can, you know, on early morning shows and stuff like that. So he's definitely, you know, he's very adamant about being in the company and everything, but it's just his current character right now I'm guessing he's supposed to be like some sort of like sassy talk show host?
Well, this
I think he's supposed to be Ryan Seacrest. He's supposed to be WWE Ryan Seacrest, is what it seems like to me. And
right,
I'm not, I don't have a very high opinion of him to begin with, but I think you could give the best wrestler in the world what he's doing right now, and I don't think they're going to do very well. Like,
yeah, the more time they give Miz TV, the less time he has to have feuds of any kind.
Yeah, because I don't remember the last time he was even in the ring.
Well, and it was so clear, too, what they did with Flair. They were trying to give Miz that sort of rub by hanging out with Flair and trying to get the crowd behind him that way. But you could hear it when Flair was about to put that figure four on Cesaro, and then he gave it to Miz. The crowd just went
hit the
floor. And then Flair tried to make up for it by elbow dropping his jacket a few times. So I kind of enjoyed that, but still, it's tough. I feel bad for the guy. And again, I don't even particularly like him, but it's, you know, it's the Sheamus thing. It's, you know, sure, I don't think he can particularly talk or all that wrestle that. All that well, but they're not really giving him anything to work with either, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough.
I felt like
Miz strikes me as like a B-movie, like a really bad B-movie where like there's no talent there, there's no skill, and it's just the movie's being made on sheer determination.
Yeah.
Like Miz is just, he wants it so bad that I want it for him.
He's DDP.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, no, I just that just came to my head, but I mean, I felt bad watching him, and the really awkward part of Monday was when he came out and he's like, "I have a special guest, and it's going to be," and he stops and he waits for the crowd to say "awesome," and nobody says it. Partly because they probably don't care, but the other part probably was the way he said the sentence. My special guest is, and it's going to be, they probably thought he was going to say the name of the guest. So nobody said it. He had to start saying it, and then they came along with him, and that was sad. I felt so bad for the guy.
Okay.
I felt so bad for the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all right, so it's time. So we're gonna give you the opportunity to book your dream booking between now and WrestleMania.
So can I?
What would you like to see happen between what's going on now and what will happen at WrestleMania? I'm
guessing I have to use current rosters. I can't just bring in New Jack to kill everybody. Okay.
As fun as that would be to watch.
No. Well, that's pretty much the whole idea right there. So that wouldn't be very much fun to listen to. So okay, I'll use the current roster. I think sort of what I said earlier. I would have Shield go with Punk. And I would have it be, they go into the Rumble, Punk fights Rock. Shield comes in, Rock's pretty much Superman, so he'll take care of the Shield. And then right as he's about to put away Punk, I'd have Brock come in. And I'd have Brock cost Rock the match, and I'd have Punk walk out with the belt. I would do, you know, and then, like I said, Brock, that just books itself, you know. Rock can do his shtick, he can do it funny, he can do it serious, doesn't matter, it's Brock. You know what I mean? Brock can carry the serious, if you want to call it that, for both of them. And, you know, he'll have Heyman with him. So it'll be, you came back for money, and I came back because I love this, blah, blah, blah. It, you know, it's pretty simple. But I think Brock, I mean, I remember that one that they had at SummerSlam, and I thought they, you know, Rock's a guy, I don't love all his matches, but I think he's pretty decent, especially for, you know, for the amount that he bulked up. I'm surprised he's still as good in there as he is. Brock, I don't know what my assessment of his current work is. He's done two very different types of matches. Didn't particularly care for the Triple H one. Liked the Cena one. Thought that was great. Yeah. Thought that was great. And different and unexpected. So I would do Brock. I think there's a few ways they could go with it where the match and the stuff leading up to it could be fun. They're both part-timers, so I think it leaves room for the regular roster to do stuff. From there, see, you got Undertaker, though, and that's the tricky part. I want Undertaker to fight Punk for the belt, but, you know, that's tough because Undertaker ain't going to take the belt, I wouldn't think, anyway, and I don't think Punk's going to be the one to end the streak, either. So I would probably do Punk and Triple H. I would have Triple H was still mad at Lesnar and the whole thing that happened there. So if Lesnar's going to be with Heyman and the Shield and whatever, then I would have Punk start picking on Triple H about retiring and how his people beat Triple H down and all that. And then I would have Punk Triple H for the belt at WrestleMania. I think they had an okay match when they were having matches. I think they could probably do better. And then I would do Cena and Undertaker finally. I would do Cena and Undertaker because you know they're going to do it sometime.
Yeah, and it seems like that's something that I'm surprised it hasn't happened already kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think they've been saving it in their minds. They've been saving Undertaker. Well, Undertaker's either never going to go down and he'll just retire unbeaten, or he'll go down. And I think the only real option is Cena. As much as you'd like to see Punk take him down, I don't think they'd do that.
That's my worry. Like, the longer it takes to get to Undertaker and Cena, the more it feels like Cena's going to be the one to break the streak.
Yeah.
And that's my worry.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't want it to be, I don't think Cena should. I kind of think, I think that somebody should beat him someday. I just don't see the guy there to do it, you know? So I would just, you know, at this point I'd have to say, just don't beat him and have him work once a year. But he's running out of guys to do them once a year with. Like, it used to be, you know, some years we'll have a big match for him. This year he's going to do Ric Flair. And then it's like, okay, next year, well, we don't have much, so we're going to have you beat up Big Show and whoever that other guy. Or that was, oh, man, that was Tensai, wasn't it? We're going to have you beat up Tensai and Big Show at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the next year it was something big. And then the year after that it was Mark Henry. You can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that with Taker anymore, I don't think. Because every year he goes in there,
like,
he could be his
like
last.
Him having a year off is really helps him.
Yeah, that does him some good.
I think so.
I thought he looked really good last year.
If he's in good shape, then he's got a lot of years left. Then they can have him fight whoever they want. If he doesn't, if he's not in very good shape, then every year could be his last, and you can't give it to Cody Rhodes or Sheamus or or, you know, even Brian at this point, I wouldn't give it to him, because anyone could be his last. You don't want Undertaker's last WrestleMania appearance to be against Sheamus. You want it to be against someone like a Triple H or a Shawn Michaels, you know what I mean? Someone worthy of ending that, because they're not going to see a 20-year WrestleMania streak again. They probably won't ever see a 20-year WrestleMania career again. So, you know, you want it to be against somebody big. So I like Triple H and Punk, because I think you could also sort of start to move then Punk out of this silly heel thing that he's doing that is not gone over. For everything that they've put into it,
it's trying so hard.
I think it's starting, you know, over. If you give it enough time, of course, it's slowly going to start to work. But, you know, Punk was they've never seen anything like what happened to Punk a couple of years ago. Not in years. And so the decision to make him like the boogeyman doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I don't think people are buying it anyway. I mean, what have they had him do? They had him beat up a retired stroke victim, Bret Hart. They had him make fun of Lawler after what happened to that poor guy. You know, they've just had him do, I don't know what else they can do. I don't know if he's got to punch AJ in the face, dead center in the ring, or what he's got to do, but I just don't think people are going to get that behind.
I think he has to punch more fans in the face.
Yeah, there could be that too. I don't know. I was kind of a fan. I was kind of a fan of that as well.
When he announced in Chicago that he wouldn't be wrestling that night, like that's the only. I was like, that's the only way he was going to get booze tonight.
Yeah. he's got to make it a kid next time though. And even that, I don't think, you know, I don't think it's going to work. But I like that. I like Punk Triple H, and I like Cena Undertaker. Cena Undertaker, I think, would be a lot of fun to do. Because, again, you know they're going to do it sometime. And I think there's a few ways you can go with it, you know, with regard to ending. Have him beat Cena clean or something like that. Who even knows? That would be how I'd do the big matches. The thing, though, is that, well, I would do, for the SmackDown belt, I would have Del Rio, Ziggler, Orton, and Sheamus, and some kind of match there, maybe an elimination, maybe two different matches in like a mini tournament or something like that, because those are the other four guys that that are going to be on there somewhere in that world heavyweight picture. But I mean, you know, a thousand different ways you can do that. But the thing that's irritating to me though is that Brian's probably not going to be in a. He'll be in a tag team and he'll be in a match against Kane. And I think after the year that he had, you know, and arguably to me, other than Rock, I think he's probably the most over guy they have. So I don't know why they wouldn't take steps to put him in a big high profile match. I mean, you can't, I'm not saying put him in there with Cena or Undertaker or whatever, but give him something, you know what I mean? And have him win it.
Big story leading up to that with
someone
that's not necessarily one of those huge guys in the company.
Yeah, put him with Shield or, you know, do something and try to capitalize on how over he is, because it's like the Ryder thing, you know, if you just let it sit for long enough, then it's gonna go away. And I like the team friendship thing. I thought it was cute. But it will run its course.
It will. It hasn't already. This most recent promo that they did with Dr. Shelby coming back, I thought that was a well-needed shot in the arm for them.
Yeah. I mean, what I really want from them is to rejuvenate this tag team division.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's, you know, you're working on borrowed time right now, so make the most of what you have left.
Well, it seems like they've got... I said this in the recap, but it seems like they've got three teams. They've got Mysterio and Sin Cara. They've got Brian and Kane. And they've got Cody and Sandow. And it seems like, from what the recaps I've read, is that basically those three teams beat all the actual teams. Because you know Sin Cara and Rey aren't going to stick together. You know Brian and Kane aren't going to stick together. I actually would keep Cody and Sandow together, because I think they make a decent team, and I don't think they're great singles wrestlers, and I think they make a pretty decent team, so I keep them together. But you know they're probably going to split them eventually too. So then, when they split, you've got a division that has teams that got beat by all the wrestlers right. that aren't even actually teams. So I agree. I think they could use some good teams. And I think there's some guys that they should just, you know, they should make some actual teams. They should get some actual teams.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like, I'm surprised that they really haven't looked towards the Usos as much as I thought they should have, because honestly, I thought they're a really good team.
You know what? I like the Usos. Yeah, I do.
They just,
they're never underrated.
Get an opportunity, really.
They're underrated, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm surprised that they haven't pushed primetime players more. I know a lot of that has to do with it kind of took a hit whenever they lost their manager.
Yeah,
let that Kobe rape joke happen.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like they were going to be the team that they were going to really push. And they just kind of stalled on that. And they haven't really done anything with anyone else lately.
What's the other... What's the other? I'm drawing a blank here. What's the Spanish guys?
Primo and Epico.
It's the other one. Didn't they have that Henrico, however you say it?
Unico and Camacho. Unico was injured, I think.
That's the one. Yeah,
those are the bike riding guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't need to be. The thing is that the like I like them. I saw a match that they did once, and I thought it was pretty decent. I like the Usos.
Yeah.
Primo and Epico, is that the other one? I'm not too crazy about them. I'm not crazy about primetime players. The one thing that strikes you when you look at it, though, is it's a division full of walking stereotypes with a catchphrase. Like, they got the two black guys, they got three Spanish teams. Like, it seemed like the with the Tyson Kidd thing they were doing with Darren, is that his name? No.
No.
Justin Gabriel.
Justin Gabriel. That was pretty much the two non-American white guys.
It was the only two guys that they teamed together that weren't, they're not both black, they're not both Spanish, they're not both this. So they could probably do with a division of just regular tag teams, not just they've got guys sitting around, let's pair them together. Because it seems like that's what a lot of it is. And honestly, I think Primetime's, Primo and Epico, and I would even say the Usos, I hate to say it, but I think they've just lost. So it's like the Kofi thing. I think they've lost so much for so long that I don't think you're going to have a tough time now getting people to think that Primo and Epico are the best tag team ever. You know what I mean? And what they're doing with the Brian and Kane thing, and it doesn't help them. You know, I think the Brian Kane and Rhodes Scholars is the best tag team stuff they've put on in years. It's certainly the most focus they've ever put on it in a long time. So I like it, but you know, they're not real teams. You know, back when they used to have
the rest of the teams.
Yeah, like when they had like the Hardys and Edge and Christian and the Dudleys. You know, they were teams that were, they may not be together forever, but they're together for the long haul. You know, back in the day, they must have had, like back when I started watching, they had, you know, they had LOD, Nasty Boys, Natural Disaster. They had probably a good 10 actual teams.
Right. And they
actually had good tag team matches there. You know, those were always a lot of fun. Tag team might have been my favorite thing as a kid. I used to love watching the tag team matches. But these days, it just seems to be like throwing together teams. When was the last time they had a tag team like that, do you think?
I've never really liked tag team matches that much. I like the what do they call it, the tornado tag matches.
Yeah, those are
like
fun.
I'm a big fan of that. That feels like there's different strategy and different teamwork would go into that.
Mm-hmm.
Too much of tag team is, you know, you fight for a while, then I fight for a while.
And then it's
predictable.
The good guys get the hot tag and then match over.
They used to do better stuff. TNA had the machine guns and they were really good. They also had Beer Money when Rude was with Storm, and those were two good.
I did like Beer Money. I did watch.
Beer Money was good. They were good together. Machine Guns were really, really good too. But TNA sadly is the last example I can really think of.
Yeah, but the tag stuff that I liked has been by default was the early TLC stuff because everybody was legal at all points.
Yeah, it was a little more chaotic. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And you know, it seemed like it was one of those things where any of those three tag teams that were like at the top could be the dominant team at any given point.
Right.
They were almost interchangeable. And that, you know, that helps with it when it's that unpredictable.
I would have, you know, going back to the WrestleMania book, I'd have a tag team, and I don't care if they use the teams that they got, or if they got to bring in teams or whatever it is, I would just have three teams, four teams or something like that. Don't have any buildup. Throw them in a TLC or even just a really good, tornado, whatever, and just have it be better than anybody expects. Just sort of downplay it. Don't put a lot of hype behind it. Make people think it's going to be, just an opening card, whatever match. And then just have them surprise everybody. Have them just take it. You know what I mean?
Fantastic. I'll take it. Yeah.
I guess that would be about the end of my fantasy WrestleMania. It's tough using the guys that they got though, because I'm so not a fan of, I would say, 75% of the guys they have. Like, I think they're replaceable. I think they're throwaways. And to me, that was the thing about Raw. Like, I see them pushing guys like Sheamus and Miz, and I see them with Bryan, who's not, they're not taking advantage of something while it's really, really hot. And I see them trying to get Punk booed, and that's the tough thing that makes the show tough to watch these days. You know what I mean? Why is Miz have a talk show? Why is Bryan not out there kicking ass like people actually would like to see? You know what I mean? So then I think, what was the other, you were going to have me book WrestleMania another way?
Yeah, challenge mode.
challenge mode.
Yeah, because according to current rumors right now, WWE's looking at twice in a lifetime being our main event, having Rock and Cena go quite possibly for the belt. And so is there any possible way that the booking leading up to that between here and now and that match that you would actually be excited for WrestleMania? Knowing
inside of that match.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's stuff you can do to sort of work. I don't particularly want to see Rock Cena again. I thought it was good the first time, but part of, I think, what made it good was the novelty of it. A year buildup, I thought, was a crazy thing for them to do. I don't want to see that again. So I guess the one good thing about it was that you wouldn't have to know it's coming for a year. I don't know. I mean, the one thing I think that you could do is have, like I said, have Brock come in and cost Rock the match. Have Cena come in and cost the Rock the match. Doesn't have to be heel. Doesn't have to be babyface. Doesn't have to be anything, really. Just have it be, we're going to fight again, and I'm going to cost you this match so that you want to fight me because I want my win back. It's tough. I mean, that's the only thing I can really think of. If they're going to go that exact same route of, they're going to make fun of each other, or they try to do it like a mutual respect thing. It's just, I think that's going to be dull. I get why they want to do it. I think last year shattered all their WrestleMania records from before that. I don't think you can make the argument that a lot of other matches did that. It was the hype for Rock Cena that did it. Triple H and Taker maybe a bit, but not even anywhere near as much.
I mean, that's the way, like, Rock Cena.
No, and Rock coming, yeah.
Triple H, Brock brought in all the money for SummerSlam, so.
They did, yeah.
By basic math.
Well,
this should be the most profitable WrestleMania of all time.
Yeah, did Triple H and Lesnar bring in all the money for that, or was it mostly just Brock? Like, I think Brock, my dog's playing with a squeak toy, sorry about that. he didn't like it either. Brock, I think, they dropped the ball on Brock. I think he could have been a huge, oh, for crying out loud. Hang on. I think Brock could have been a huge deal. And I think them not, between a combo of them not really using him all that much and just having him lose to Cena like that, I think took a lot of his steam away. Especially after he beat the crap out of that guy. I just about swore there. But he beat the hell out of that guy, and then Cena hits the one move with the chain and it's done. I just didn't, and then they never wrestled again. I never saw the point of it. So I guess the one good thing about Rock and Cena doing their thing would be that you could get Punk and Undertaker. And yeah. I think, again, how many ways is there to screw that up? There's not that many. Just have them, and that if you want to get Punk booed, have him come out and start ragging on Taker. You know what I mean? Having them come out and rant, you know, run down Cena on a mic is not going to get you. It'll get you a certain portion of the crowd booing you, but I don't think it's the lion's share. But you come down and start running down Taker, I think people will boo him a lot more. And even if it doesn't matter how they do it, I think they'll have a fun match. That would certainly be the match that I would look the most forward to. And then I guess from there you've got Triple H and Brock again.
Yeah, that's what you're stuck with.
Yeah, that's the problem, right?
I don't see
any way out of Triple H Brock because
who else are they going to put him up against, right?
Yeah, like you can't, and it's also a question of who you're going to put Undertaker up against. You're not going to put Undertaker up against Triple H again. You're not. I hope you're not going to put. Well, you could do Undertaker Brock. You could do it.
There's that.
The Undertaker Brock is what I was predicting a year ago.
Yeah, I just, it's...
And, like, it was based on that, do you remember, there was a video, like, I think it was the UFC match where Brock lost his championship.
Yeah, and he had that.
And, like, he just,
stared down.
Yeah, he walked past Undertaker, Undertaker was in the audience,
and the internet went crazy.
Yeah, I think it's tough, like, not knowing enough about, is Brock a different kind of wrestler than Taker? It's tough not knowing enough about Undertaker's condition, because there was, after that one match with Triple H where they helped him out and everybody freaked out, they thought he was dead or dying when he had hours to live, but then we found out that wasn't the case, obviously. But again, it's like you said, maybe take an year off and he's good to do whatever it is that he wants to do. And if so, I think the Brock match would be okay. But I feel like with Punk, if he is broken down, they'll still have a good match. You know what I mean? Like, Punk can work. I'm a Punk nerd. I have been since 2003, probably. But I think he can literally have a good match with anybody. Whereas with Brock, I could see that being horrible. It depends. I mean, you remember Brock and Goldberg?
Oh yeah.
I remember. I love that match just for the novelty of it. Just them getting 30 seconds in and the crowd just. Just done.
That's the thing, is like I remember the crowd reaction and like the backstory behind that match, rather than the actual match itself.
Yeah, it was horrible. Everything was horrible about it, and I just wouldn't want that to be the case for Undertaker Brock. If I gotta make a final call, I'm doing Punk Taker because that will steal the show, and it'll be the best match they got. And yeah, fine, do Triple H and Brock again. Again, it's one of those things, I'd love to stick Bryan in there somewhere. I just don't know how you get him there from where he is. I don't know how you get him away from Kane and into a main story that fast. I think Bryan, if it for to me, well, who's, you guys go first. Who's going to win the Rumble? Who's going to first? That's the first question.
I'm not gonna say Cena.
Cena's such a shining.
Okay.
That's the fastest way.
Yeah.
To get him into the championship, and it was like last year, it really felt like Jericho was the obvious choice.
Yep.
And they took it away from Jericho just because everybody was saying it was the obvious choice, and then you kind of had to, you know, have Jericho give this. I lost the Rumble, but I won a title shot anyway.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
They
which is a little awkward, and, you know, it's forgivable because I wanted to see Jericho and Punk, and I was willing to sit through whatever reasonings they gave me, but...
Yep, fair enough. So you both say Cena then?
Begrudgingly,
yes.
I think, and so that's the first question, and that was my first question, and I, unfortunately, gotta say Cena too. It's disappointing, but I gotta say it, and if it's not him... I think it's going to be Ryback or Miz. And to me, that's almost as... Wow, that's worse, actually. That is worse. And,
to be honest with you, I actually had a thought when we were thinking about what we could possibly do with Brock. That was the thought I had, to probably put Ryback with Brock.
That's not a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I
mean, compared to that or a rematch with Triple H, I'd take
Brock and Ryback.
Yeah, I'd take Brock and Ryback, too. I don't think it would be very good, but I think you could do it. And
right. And
again, that's one of those things that just kind of writes itself. You know what I mean? And then that frees up Triple H, don't it?
That does. I mean,
well, then get Brian out of there and have him beat the stuffing out of Triple H. Something, you know what I mean? Something to give him that thing, man. Because you know what? Of all these guys, they've tried to push and. they stumbled upon the punk thing. That wasn't intentional. They stumbled upon the Brian thing. That wasn't intentional. You know, they're breaking their backs to make some of these guys, and I see these guys they've got right in front of them, and that, to me, is just mind-boggling. But, you know, they got their vision of what they want their guy to look like. So, yeah, then, okay, so that was question number one, who's going to win? Now, who should win? If you could pick anyone on that roster, if it's a champ, then I guess you're assuming they're going to lose that belt. But, yeah, pick who should win.
To be honest with you, I have always thought Kane deserved to win the Rumble at least once in his career.
Yeah.
So that would probably be my first choice if it was up to me.
Okay.
I've always wanted to see, and this was really big in Nexus, I've wanted to see the Rumble conclude with sub members of the same stable in the ring at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of be the kickoff of a stable breakup.
Okay.
Like right now, the Shield's really your only choice, and I'm not, chomping at the bit to see those guys break up and fight each other yet.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
But so I would, I don't want to throw that scenario in just because of who I have right now.
Yep.
As my option. So, who deserves to win? Yeah, like Brian or I would have said Tyson Kidd if he hadn't just gotten hurt. That's where I would have gone.
Yeah, Tyson's all right. I've definitely for me, the only option is Brian of who should win by a wide mile. Like nobody's coming close, and I think that it could work. I just think they look at him and they don't see him on a poster or as their main guy or whatever. But that'd be my thing. WrestleMania is just one of those things. Like, it's never going to turn out exactly the way you want it.
No.
I thought WrestleMania last year was quite good.
Plus, considering how terrible the WrestleMania before that was,
that might have been the worst one I've ever seen.
Definitely my memory.
13 was pretty atrocious. I think you had Undertaker and Sid on that one, and I only remember that one. Like, I couldn't name off a lot of WrestleMania cards by heart, but I can name that main event because it's just so awkward.
There's a lot that I've been told were bad that were not. I was not watching at the time, or I was not paying for pay per views at the time.
Yeah,
and so that that one. I've heard bad things about 17.
I like that one.
Wasn't that Biker Taker?
That was Biker Taker and Triple H, which was that was their best match. Blew the doors off the last couple of years. Last year's wasn't bad. I thought 27 was pretty overrated and slow.
I thought when Undertaker couldn't stand up, I thought that's how they were going to conclude the streak story, was that he maintained the streak and died doing it. I thought he was in storyline dying.
Yeah.
Right there in front of me.
They could do it like Doctor Who, and he could regenerate into a different Undertaker. A younger Undertaker, and then he could do another 20 years. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past
that. I would actually love this. Like, it's the
totally.
One car wreck happened, but like to try and convince everybody that this still counts as part of the streak.
Totally.
With this brand new guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Doctor Who's done 50 years. Why can't The Undertaker do 50 years? He's done 20 as one guy. Let him, there were rumors back in the day that they picked different Undertakers all the time anyway.
Yeah.
Ah, dear. Yeah, I guess that'd be the way to do it with Rock Cena, I guess. I think it's considerably less fun. And I think doing WrestleMania, it's not that you can never do the same match you've already had. Like, how many times did Austin and Rock go? And that was fun. Every time they did it. For me, anyway. It's not that I don't think you can do rematches. I just, to do the rematch right the year after is one thing. But if you're going to run Triple H and Brock again... I don't think that went... Did Triple H and Brock go over that well? I don't remember what the general reaction was for that.
It's just... It seemed like... That whole pay-per-view felt kind of, left a bad taste.
And it's one of those things where it's not just one particular reason that I... for me personally, that I could think of that went wrong or that I didn't like. It's just the whole thing just didn't feel like anything gelled, and that match especially.
Because that match was the big selling point of that pay-per-view, and the pay-per-view felt like a failure to begin with. Yeah. Like, it's really easy to stick the blame on that match.
I still blame Kevin Rudolph.
Well, you can blame Kevin Rudolph for anything, but it was the last match, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the last match, yeah.
I felt like that 10-minute thing they did at the end hurt it a lot, that thing where Triple H got up, because anybody, I don't care, you know, even if even the most jaded of fan, or the most naive of fan, I should say, sorry, they knew that's not Triple H's last match. Not on Brock. Yeah. Not on Brock, and not like that. He's been around too long and is too ingrained in that company's history to go out that way. Although I will say I'm impressed with the commitment they've showed having him gone pretty much since then.
Yeah.
So I think that by doing that, by keeping guys away longer, that's what I would change about the show these days. I would have it so that guys aren't on every week. You know what I mean? I would, you know, more things need to change about the show itself than the guys that they're pushing, I think. I think they can do better that in that respect. And Triple H, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. The longer you keep somebody away, you know, the more excited people are going to be when they come back. That's why Undertaker coming back now, you know, it's once a year. Everybody knows it's going to happen. I don't even think, you know, as much as I think they should put him up against a big name every year, you could put him against anybody and people would watch it. They'd be excited for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess that's how I'd do it. There's just not a lot of other ways around it, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about our time for this episode. So I want to thank you for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Before we do our normal plug-in, Blair, do you have anything you want to plug?
We've got That Being Said recap tour, the WrestleMania expedition I'm doing right now, and I think it'll be fun. I don't usually watch whole shows, so I wasn't allowed to swear on here, but just so you know, I do swear a lot on there because it provokes a violent reaction from me sometimes, having to sit there and go through it. But it's a lot of fun. I have fun doing it, so if you want to check those out, go ahead. It's on Inside Pulse. It's called That Being Said. That's all I got. I got no t-shirts or merch. They haven't given me any t-shirts or merchandise yet, so I can't flog those. But
how about the Twitter handle? Tell them where they can follow you on Twitter.
That's a good question, buddy. Hang on a sec. Let me see my. Am I BD? Hang on. Wait. This is the longest plug you guys have ever had. At BD Inside Pulse, if you want to check it out. My next one that I am doing. Oh, crap. Main event. I'm doing main event next week. That will be airing on whatever day main event airs. I should look that up. But yeah, it'll be up next week, so come give it a check out. That's all I got.
All right. And from us, you can follow Classy Ring Attire on Twitter, at CR Attire. We do live Raw. We do Sundays when appropriate.
And if you have any hate mail ideas, anything you want us to bring up on the show, you can send it to our email account. It is classyringattire@gmail.com.
We also have a Tumblr, classyringattire.tumblr.com. You can find old episodes of this podcast as well as other wrestling shenanigans.
And if you are listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave Woo-hoo! Us a comment on there. It is a wonderful site. We'd love to hear from you.
It is a wonderful site.
And finally, we are on iTunes. You can find this episode, old episodes, and all future episodes on iTunes. So if you could subscribe there, it's easy for you. It's great for us. Maybe give us a rating of
5 stars.
That would be right.
I know. I'm going to give this podcast 5 stars.
See?
Fantastic.
I already got an endorsement.
Yes. Follow your betters.
That's right. That's
all right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.